How are you this morning? Now, I know many of you walked in and were like, what happened? So I just wanted you to know we were in such a financial crisis, I had to sell some of the chairs. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. So last week, we were maxed out. And so we're trying to maximize and leverage as much space and as much seating as we can to get as many people in as we can to where we don't have to use the overflow seating. So I know it's different. I know it's awkward. No apologies for that. We're going to do what we got to do to get people in here, okay? So thanks for accommodating us. Thanks for being okay with it. Thanks for working with us. For those of you that are tuning in at home, glad that you are tuning in. You may be sitting in your car, glad that you're listening in. But we are glad that you are here to worship with us this morning. Exactly. So how about we pray and we will continue in our worship of our God. God, thank you. Thank you for being so good, for being so amazing, so kind. Lord, I think about all the things that we endure in our life, and nothing compares to what Jesus endured, and yet we get frustrated, and we get boogered up, and we have a hard time trying to understand what's going on. Lord, help us to know that there is more going on than what we can see, and that the one that we can trust is the one that created us and knows us best and desires to have a relationship with each of us. Lord, my prayer today is that as we open your word, that your word would go forth and move within our hearts and challenge us to see things how you see them and not how we want to see them, or maybe even how we do see them. So today, thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that are tuning in at home or maybe sitting in the parking lot and listening. Lord, I ask that your spirit would fall in such a way that we would know that we have seen you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Singing hallelujah, hallelujah. with our hands lifted high in praise. It is you we adore, singing Alleluia. We're singing Alleluia. Waiting here for you with our hands.
Again, God, that is truly why we are here. And for some of us, it's hard to raise our hands because we're worried about what people are going to think and see. But Lord, our hearts, we have lifted them to you this morning, inviting you to do your work. Lord, for some of us, we don't know what that looks like. We don't know what that means. For some of us, that's very scary because we've invited you to do that before and you've wrecked our lives. But God, this morning, my prayer is that you will do something spectacular. We love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the way that it comes alive. And we ask again that it would do that today and that your spirit would fall in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat. Thank you for singing so well. It's so hard behind the mask, I know. But hopefully we only have to endure that for a little bit longer. So glad you're here. If you will grab your Bibles or your phones and let's go to Matthew chapter 13 is where we're going to be today. Matthew chapter 13. We're going to continue our crawl through the book of Matthew. And we are entering a chapter that is full of stories, what they call parables. It's the way that Jesus chose to speak. And it is there's a ton of them in there. Now we're going to kind of skip around just a little bit, because Jesus tells a parable, and then he explains to the disciples why he uses parables, and then comes back and explains the parable he just told. So what we're going to go and do today is we're going to go to the explanation first and foremost, so we can kind of understand what we're walking into and see what Jesus wants us to truly see as we look at the parables over the next few weeks. Now, I don't know about you, but there are things in life that I get involved in that I'm kind of understand what I'm doing until a little bit later, and then it makes total sense. Are y'all like that as well? Like, for instance, I love doing jigsaw puzzles. And they'll be in the jigsaw puzzle, you'll see puzzle pieces, and you'll be like, there's no way this fits in here. There's no way it's going to match or work. And then all of a sudden, you're 15 or 20 pieces along, and you hit that same weird piece, and you put it in, and you're like, oh, there it is. That makes sense. Or maybe you're remembering teachings from your parents or from your Sunday school teachers or your pastor, and it kind of made sense in the moment, but later on in life, something happens, and that light bulb moment happens for you, and now it makes sense. And Jesus has a unique way in the way that he teaches and helping us have those light bulb moments. But here's a problem. We all want it instantly. We all want to think that we just read the scripture and it happens for us. And sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's we read the same passage years after year after year, and then it makes sense. So why is that? Why is it that sometimes we can see the outset of the story and understand the story, but we're missing the main point behind it? We're going to see today Jesus explains why that sometimes happens. He explains why it happens to the Pharisees and to the religious leaders and to the Jewish people who had it all figured out. And he helps us understand where we are in all of this. So here's the thought that I have for you today. Here's where we're going to start, and it's this. Hearing and seeing does not always constitute understanding. Hearing and seeing does not always mean that I'm going to get it. Listen, I taught math for years, and I watched kids' faces and their heads shake up and down when I asked, does that make sense? But I knew by the expression on their face, they had zero clue. They watched it unfold from step one to step six. Yes, I see the progression, but I have zero clue how that works. Many of you understand that. But for me, I can look at it and it just clicks. Doesn't mean I'm smarter, doesn't mean I'm better. For whatever reason, it's the way my brain works. But when we come to spiritual things, it's the same thing. There are times where we will read the same story. And for some of you, it will just click naturally. You will get it. You will see the underlying meaning. For some of us, it will take a while for it to really click in. Why? Why is that? We're going to get in today and understand that just because we can hear it and see it does not mean that we fully understand quite yet. Now, if you'll notice, I put those little three dots at the end because this is a two-part message. When I started forming this message together, I had to call Charlie and say, Charlie, we don't have enough time tomorrow for me to do this. So I'm dividing it up. I'm going to create the problem today. We're going to look at the solution next week. So that's just my way of saying you got to come back, right? You got to tune in next week to make sure you get the answer to the problem. So everybody with me? Hearing and seeing doesn't always mean that you get it. It doesn't constitute understanding. So let's jump right into the passage because I think that that's always important. And I want us to understand, before we get into verse 10 of chapter 13, let's look at verse 1 because it's important to understand the context and the place at which Jesus is saying this thing. Because last week, you remember, we looked at the passage where he said, who's my mother and my brother and my sister? But it's those that do the will of the Father. It's not necessarily blood that's my family. It is those who are following after my Father God, that are truly going after his will. Those are my brothers and my sisters and my mothers and my dads. Verse 1 says, on the same day. This isn't months later. This isn't weeks later. This isn't a couple of days later. Same day. He finishes speaking about this, and now he's getting ready to launch into this story time. This is the same day, same people he's speaking to. So let's jump down to verse 10, because verse 10 kind of catches us up after he shared this wonderful parable that we will talk about in a couple of weeks. Jesus is approached by his disciples. Verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? Now, Tim brought up a great point in our sermon prep. He said, isn't it awesome that Jesus was so approachable that the guys who are following him that really haven't figured it all out yet were comfortable enough to come to the one that they could trust to give them the answer? It's a big, they are questioning his teaching method. They are confused as to why he's speaking in such a way that's not very clear to the average person. And he asked them, or they ask him, why do you do that? Verse 11, he answers and says to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. Now that sounds very choosy. Sounds very, I like you, I don't like you. But that's not what's happening here, just so you know. Our God, unfortunately, gets a bad rap a lot of times of being choosy of who he loves and who he doesn't love. And that's not true at all. Because scripture is very clear who God loves, and he loves everyone. Doesn't mean he agrees with everyone. But he loves everyone. And in this moment, there are times in our life where depending on the position we are in our walk, we may be revealed some things that the other person may not be revealed quite yet. And we're going to look at some reasons as to why verse 10 or verse 11 may be happening. Why it wasn't revealed to those that are listening, but revealed to the disciples. Verse 12, he goes on. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So that means all your toys are gone. And those that have a lot of toys are going to get more toys. At least that's what we want to imply there, but that's not what it's meaning at all. It's talking about spiritual growth, the knowledge that we have of a God that really does love us, even though we may not like how he does things. And Jesus says, to those who get it, more will be given to them. And to those who have it but aren't using it, it will go away. You think about the things. Now think about this. You think about the things that you learned in middle school and high school. This is a common argument that we have in our household. When am I ever going to use that? How many of y'all regularly use trigonometry? For those of you that don't know what that means, it's cosine, sine, and tangent, and angles, and all that stuff. I hated that class. And I never, that's a lie. Sometimes my brain actually goes back and tries to use it, and I don't remember it, but I try to use it. But there are things in our life that we learn, and if we don't exercise it, it goes away. And Jesus is simply saying, be careful that you don't take the knowledge and then just camp out. Because camping out and not exercising that knowledge, you will forget it. It will just go away. But to those who get it, who are figuring it out and are wanting more and they are exercising it, it will grow. He is stating the case as to the difference between those that he is speaking to and to the disciples that are listening. Because there are a lot of people that hear great preaching and great teaching. And those same people that are hearing great preaching and great teaching walk out of here and forget it. And then there are some of us who hear the great teaching and the great preaching, and we are moved by the Spirit of God, and we make a change in our life and exercise that new thing we just learned. And when we do that, we grow. And when we don't do that, we lose out. Now, today's sermon might be a little harsher and harder than you bargained for. But I want you to understand my heart. We are living in a day and age that we can no longer play the game of just going to church and praying a prayer and paying a tithe and doing the right things. This is a game that has become serious, and we must now choose to live this stuff out every day of our life. If we do not, we will lose out. It is time to get serious about this. It is time to dig in. And the disciples are asking the questions, Jesus, why are you seemingly making it so hard for people to understand this stuff? And he is cautiously and carefully answering them by saying, I'm not. And we'll see that in just a minute. Verse 13. Therefore, so based on that, based on the ones that get it will grow, and the ones that kind of don't get it and not really care about it, it's just going to kind of dissipate from their life. He says, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Well, first off, the question we have to ask is, well, what are they hearing and what are they seeing? What are they supposed to be seeing as Jesus is speaking? What are they supposed to be hearing as Jesus is speaking? Well, the answer is back in verse 11. It's the mysteries of God. It's the things that we look at and go, wow, how did that happen? How did he really create everything in 7 days? How in the world did he create a global flood that only saved a few people on a big boat that a dude took 100 years to create? How does that happen? How does God allow a man to stand on the ground and pray fire down that consumes an altar? How does that work? I don't understand that. That's a mystery to me. It's a good mystery. It's something that keeps me captivated. It's something that drives me to want to know more. It's something that just puts a passion within me to say, man, I want to see that. Because don't think for 1 second God can't do those things again. There are miracles happening all around us all the time. And if God wants to, dude, he could drop some fire. That'd be cool. As long as it's not my house. right? And he says, they hear the mysteries that I'm talking about, but they really don't hear it. Now, for some of us, we're like, wait a second. How does that work? How can I hear something but not really hear it? Well, if you're a parent, you know exactly what that looks like because your kids do it all the time. You know they're hearing you, but the wheels of the mouse are not turning in their head. You can tell by their facial expression. Listen, I saw it all the time in math. They heard everything I told them to do and showed them everything. They saw the design to figure out that problem, but it did not compute in their brain. Why? Jesus says, listen, there are religious leaders and people who know the truth, and they hear what I'm saying, but they really don't hear me. They see what I'm talking about. They can visualize the stories that I'm sharing, but they don't see the hidden meaning behind it. They can hear the earthly stuff. They can see the earthly things. But when it becomes spiritual, they are deaf and blind. Verse 14, Jesus now begins to quote Scripture. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. Seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. They just don't care anymore. It's not important to them. It's just another thing to do. It's just another portion of their life. It's not the most prioritized thing that they want to go after. He says their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes, they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. Here's basically what he says. They are choosing to not really hear what the Spirit is trying to tell them. They are choosing to be blinded to the truths of what I'm teaching. Now, if they were to open their eyes and open their ears, I would heal them. That is what God is saying. He wants to do that for us. He wants to give us understanding. He wants us to hear the true spiritual truth behind it. He wants all of that for us. But we have a personal responsibility to do something about it. It's available. My goodness, this book has been preserved for who knows how long? Thousands of years. We have a nice collection of letters and books that have been written to help us understand what God's story looks like. For us to say, well, I don't know, I'm not really sure. You should be. And you can know. He makes it available. But Jesus says, some of us are going to hear this stuff, and we're only hearing it, we're not really listening to it. Some of us are going to see it, and it's going to kind of make sense, but you're really not going to see what's really going on. Verse 16. Now he's going back to his disciples. Remember, the disciples said, why do you teach this way? And now he's saying, but blessed are you. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. There's something different about the disciples that they are able to figure out and understand what he's teaching, even though they constantly ask, why'd you tell that story? Help me out here. Which helps me understand something. It reminds me of my need to go to him to say, I need help. I see the story, God. I can read it, and I kind of understand where you're going. I hear it being preached, and it kind of makes sense, but I'm missing something, and I need you to fulfill that gap for me. It forces me to humble myself, to say I'm not as smart as I think, I'm not as amazing as I think I am, and I need something bigger than myself to help me do what I've been called to do. It says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, in verse 17, I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Now, he's getting a little bit earthly there. He's talking about all the people in the Old Testament that staked their entire life to see the salvation of God come. They preached about it. They taught about it. They lived it. They breathed it. They believed it. They gave their lives for it. Never saw it come to fruition, but it didn't matter to them because something happened between them and God that gave them the passion to stick it out to the very end, whether it made sense to them or not. And folks, there are things that God will do in our lives and allow into our lives and call us to do and ask us to live that will not make sense to us. It will confound us. It will frustrate us. It will be far beyond what we thought we were supposed to be doing. And that is where the mystery comes in of how we are to trust a God that we cannot see, but we can absolutely feel and hear and speak with. And how he wants to infiltrate our lives through his Spirit to guide us into the direction so that when those moments come that confound us, we can go to him and say, I'm scared. I don't understand. I don't know why. I hear it. I see it. But I need to understand it. And he is the one that gives the understanding. What a passage. What a challenge. And so as we go back and we think about the parable, many of you may not know, but parables are like similes and metaphors. Similes and metaphors are a little bit shorter. They're very quick. They're one kind statement that helps you kind of remember a little bit better. But parables are stories that are a lot like that. It takes like has a symbolic content with a profound spiritual application. It takes a nice little story that makes sense to us on the earthly platform that we live on, but there is a hidden spiritual deeper meaning behind the story that we are to try to gather from. So the parables are so important. They're paramount in how Jesus teaches. And as we continue to look at that, they're layered. There are so many layers to these stories. Listen, I can't tell you how many times we've sat in my office and we've read parables or stories or anything in Scripture and we think it's going in this direction because that's how we remember it, that's how we were taught it, that's how we read it. And God flips it upside down and shows us something new out of the same story. That's a mystery to me. That's the stuff I love. That's the fun things for me. I love that kind of stuff. But these stories are layered. It's an earthly context. It's a story that we all can relate to. If we were to go back to all of these stories, which we're going to over the next few weeks, we will be able to see how Jesus uses the culture and the way of life that they have going on to help pull the stuff together. He meets people where they're at. To me, it's how churches are successful. If I were to bring my Southern upbringing in the way that we did church to our church, it would not work. Because the culture that is here is not the culture that I grew up with. It doesn't mean one is more right than the other. It just means you got to understand the culture in which you are operating in and head in that direction to take them into the direction that you want them to go. Listen. That doesn't just apply for church work. That applies with where you work. Understand the people that you're working with. Figure out how to speak their language in order to speak truth into their lives. But I'd be careful with the language of some of them. Please. Your neighbors. Listen, we live around some different people. Understand where they're coming from. Try to figure out some common ground to meet them where they're at, to introduce Jesus to them. And Jesus is doing just that. He knows his constituents. He knows the people that he's talking with. He knows how to teach them and speak to them in such a way that draws them in a newer, better direction. And every time he does it, every time he opens his mouth, there is a heavenly meaning behind it. There's something to learn. So why parables? It's a fair question. It's the question that the disciples asked. Jesus, why do you teach this way? Why not just look at them square in the eye and say, this is what you're supposed to be doing? How does that work when you do that with your kids? Depends on how obedient and kind they are and how much they love you, right? That didn't go over very well. It's the way it should work, right? It really doesn't go over that well. But when you can come alongside them and work with them and teach them and guide them, it's
far better. And so Jesus has learned that we don't do very well with people looking us square in the eye and say, do this. Jesus knows that we do better when we are forced to think through what is being shared with us to bring us to a place where we own it on our own. That is what these parables are for. They are to change our view and our setting and our minds to see the error of our way, and we own it in order to make the righteous choice and decision with it. These parables are there to adhere to our memory a lot easier. How many of y'all remember the little statements that I give on the sermon Sundays? I announce it at the first and at the end. How many of y'all remember it toward the end of the week? Probably most of you do not, and that's okay. But the reason I want to do it short is because I want it to be easy to remember. I want it to be catchy. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's common sense, sometimes it's way out in left field. But I want it to be easy to remember. And so Jesus speaks in such a way. Most of you have been in church all your life, and if I were to say the parable of the Good Samaritan, you're like, oh yeah, I know that story. Right? There are so many parables that we know just by the mention of the title or by the mention of a word, it automatically brings us to mind. Why? Because that's the teaching method that Jesus does. It's catchy. He used parables to help those in a fixed position to be brought to a place of self-revelation. He's speaking to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are in a fixed position. They like what they like. They believe what they believe. They're heading in the direction that they know is right, regardless of what is true and righteous. And Jesus uses these moments to teach in such a way that will cause people to turn. He's not forcing them. Jesus doesn't force us to do anything. He's giving them the option to, on their own, in freedom and in choice, to be able to choose him. So why parables? Because most of the time, most of the people were not ready to hear the truth. They're not ready to hear the truth. It's funny, we come in and we ask, oh, how are you today? How are you today? But we keep moving. We really don't want to hear the truth. I mean, I do. Right? It's hard for us because we know, one, you're probably not going to tell me the truth. And two, I really probably don't want to know the truth. So why do we do that? Well, it's just what we do. It's that fixed position. It's what everybody does. It's normal. Well, what if it's not normal? What if we are to apply that idea to how we live our Christian life, that we should move out of these fixed positions that we think we know what is best, that we've always believed to be true, but we're not willing to allow the Spirit of God to move us in a direction that we're really supposed to be going? Because we're just not ready to hear the truth. Some of us come in on Sunday mornings and we're just here putting our rear end in the seat, doing our time and getting out of here because we're just here to be seen, but we really don't want to hear the truth. It's the reason many of us don't read the scripture on a daily basis, because we don't want to read something that God's going to say, hey, you need to work on that. It's the reason we don't have conversations with him regularly, because we already know what we did was wrong, and if I talk to him, he's going to convict me, so I already know he's going to convict me, so I'm just going to be convicted, and I'm just not going to talk to him, because we don't want to hear the truth. Some of us are like, well, I prayed the prayer, so I'm good. I don't need anything else. Show me that in Scripture, please, because I can show you 100 times more Scripture that talks about how I am to continue to progress in my walk with him and go after him and seek him out. Not only are we not ready to hear the truth, but it's protection from those who would use his words against him. Jesus is careful in how he is teaching and how he is speaking, because he knows there are religious leaders and people who are constantly following him, waiting to trap him and to end his life. So he is very careful and very crafted in how he speaks. Not to speak in riddles or to confuse people, but for self-protection. His time isn't come yet to be taken away and killed. But it is time to teach and to speak and to move into hearts. And this is the last one that, for me, is why I think is so important. It's hidden from those who just don't care. Do you realize churches are full of people who really don't care about truth? Now, I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind. Why you would give up a beautiful Sunday morning when you could be out on the lake or go and play golf or just sleeping in, and you come in and you sing and you smile and you put out a good presence, but you don't give a rip about what Jesus says. How does that work? Let me tell you how that works. It don't. And it's probably the reason you're lonely. Possibly the reason that you're miserable. Probably the reason things just don't work out. Jesus hides things from us because he knows we'll just waste it. Because we don't care. What a shame. I hope and pray that that is not said of any of us in this room, any of us listening at home. My prayer, our prayer as a team is that you love the Word of God. I love when Seth gets up here and preaches because he brings such passion and energy about his love for Jesus. It's infectious. It's good stuff. And that is where we should all aspire to be like Seth. I'm just kidding. But not like Seth, but like his passion, his desire to just, I want to know the mysteries. I want to get it. I want to understand it. Not so I can be awesome and amazing, but so I can understand my God even more. Because I don't want things to be hidden from me. I want to know and I want to understand. And when I know and when I understand, I want to live it out. Knowledge is great. Understanding is wonderful. But action is vital and important. For me, that is the biggest one. Because it creates this idea that God is hiding things from us. And the reality is God hides nothing from us, but he knows our hearts and those that really are ready and those that really want it. So what is hidden? We have to ask ourselves, what is hidden from us? It's the mysteries of God, the truths of God, the spiritual aspects that we need in order to be successful in our lives. It's things which can be understood that had not been revealed completely yet. Like, for instance, I don't understand the end times, all that stuff. I've read a bunch about it, and I know what I've been taught and what I think I understand, but that's still a mystery to many of us. The mystery of salvation. I don't understand how all that works. I know how it works for me. Spiritual growth. I don't understand how all of that maneuvers through our life and how the Spirit really gets it done, but I know how it works for me. It's mysteries that are being revealed to us. I don't always understand everything that I read, but the moment that he reveals it to me, it's no longer a mystery. And that's what God wants to do for each and every one of us. So as we look at this, we have to think about the Pharisees and the Jews that he's speaking to. They were predisposed in one direction while Jesus led in a different direction. He chose not to come in and just upset the apple cart. He could have come in and wreaked havoc. He could have came in and just turned everything upside down. But he intentionally and very wisely took his time over the 3-year period that he was teaching and leading to do what was necessary to change people's hearts. He could have came in with an iron fist. He could have came in with a massive angel army and just wiped people out and said, I'm the king, let's go. But he chose to come humbly and as a servant to teach us and to model for us what this life really looks like. But the Pharisees and the Jews just were in a different direction. So you have to ask yourself, why didn't they see it? These are the thoughts that float through my head. Like, why couldn't they see that? Why could they not see the truth? Why could they not see that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life? They are watching all of these miraculous things that they're doing. Well, here are some thoughts for you. What they saw didn't fit their belief. What they were seeing Jesus do did not fit what they had always believed, not necessarily truth, but what they believed was supposed to happen. Jesus wasn't doing any of that. Now, there are some that finally were able to see that, okay, yes, he is the way, and he is the truth and the life. They liked the things the way that they were. They loved how we were able to do sacrifices and just go to the temple, and that would just make everything okay. And Jesus turned everything upside down. You remember him saying, hey, what about that murder thing? You think it's about really taking a life? But let me tell you what it really is. It starts in your heart. That's different. We don't want that. We just want the exterior of us to change because we can work on that. It's the interior stuff that's the most difficult. But let me tell you a secret. I'm going to reveal a mystery to you. You fix the interior, you let God work on your interior and get your spirit going in the right direction, and I guarantee your exterior will fix itself. But the other way around is the most complicated, most frustrating, most awful way to try to do it. It can only be done from the inside out. But the problem is, we like things how they are. We've learned to work with it. We've learned to maneuver through it. Why else didn't they see it? Oh, I'm going to chuck this thing. Life experience dictated something different. Their life experience, the things that they had experienced in life, dictated to them something different. Maybe they were coming out of the captivity. Maybe their family had been mistreated. Who knows? But for whatever reason, their life experience gave way to a different truth. It did not allow them to see what Jesus was trying to teach them and help them understand and do. They were blinded by false narratives, bad teaching, bad beliefs. And all of that blinded them from the things that Jesus was trying to convince them and help them see. And lastly, why didn't they see it? This is the biggest one for me. Most of them just didn't want to. You know, these we get. These we can look at and say, yeah, I get that. This one blows my mind. I would like to think that if I'd been raised in the Jewish culture, but then saw Jesus do the miraculous things that he did, I would hope to think that my mind would be so intrigued that I just want to go after it. And yet I look at my life and I see things that God does and I just ignore them. We do it all the time. No doubt. Some of you are sitting here listening to the sermon and say, yeah, I get it. I see it. And you're going to walk out of here and it's not going to do a thing for you. That doesn't hurt my feelings, just so you know. I'm not responsible for that. That's on you. I'm just responsible for sharing the truth, putting it out there in an understandable way, and then letting the Spirit move in your heart. You have a responsibility to either allow him to move or to not. And so when he's not allowed to move, it's not because the preacher was bad. Even if he is bad. Because the Spirit never changes. The Word of God never changes. It should never matter who's speaking up here because the Word is still the same and the Spirit moving through the Word is always the same and is the only thing that will change your heart if you will allow it. Man, you guys are spirited today. Matthew 13. This is going back to the prophecy, and I want to just hit this one more time because this proves the point that they just didn't want to. He says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, seeing you will see and not perceive, for the hearts of this people have grown dull. They just don't care. You want to know why our nation is in such a quandary? Because Christians just don't care. People anymore just don't care. We are fat and happy. We are content with how things are going. We are predisposed in a certain direction, and by golly, do not change it. Shame on us, man. We're going to miss so much when we live in that type of thinking and we live in that type of way. But when we can fully surrender to a holy God and allow him to knock the scales from our eyes and pull the wax out of our ears and begin to work in our hearts and in our minds to give us the understanding, I promise you, It will create a battle within you. It will be that battle of wills, of wanting to do what you want to do and what you've always done, and doing what God is calling you to do. And you will have a personal choice to make. And I love it when people blame, well, it's the church's fault while I'm not there. That church is full of hypocrites. I'm not going to go there because of them. You are forgetting personal responsibility. You are letting something else dictate what you are doing. Shame. Shame, 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 shame. So the question we have to ask is, why don't we see it? I'm almost done. Why don't we see it? What we see doesn't fit our belief because we're misinformed. What we are watching happen in our nation, we are wondering, what is God doing? Why is he allowing all this happen? Well, God doesn't love us. He doesn't love our nation anymore, and he's against us. Well, maybe we're misinformed. Maybe we have to remember that we live in an evil society, in an evil world where the prince of darkness, this is his playground. This is not our home. Our home is an eternity with Christ. And so, guess what? It's exactly what's supposed to take place. And we're just going to have to be okay with it. We're going to have to learn to maneuver through it and work with it and allow the Spirit to guide us, to give us understanding of what is really going on in order to make it to the end. But we as believers live so misinformed because we want to stick to the beliefs that we want rather than believing what we should be believing, which is truth. We like things the way they are. Don't change it. Listen, I've already been asked, when we go back to two services, are we going back to that 8:30 and 10:30? Because I really got to be at that 8:30. Come on, man. Haven't been that bad. But we are human. We like things how we like things. There's nothing wrong with that. I get it. I love the 8:30. I love the 10:30. I just love church. Doesn't matter to me. And it's okay if it matters to you, but let's not get stuck in our rut when it comes to the things of Christ. Let's not get stuck in a rut of things that we want to be true but really aren't, and we're not willing to see in Scripture the truth, real truth, and live by that. Let's get out of this things of, well, I like things the way they are. Let's stop being misaligned and let's align with Christ. Here's the next one. Our life experience dictates something different. It's a misappropriated. Things have not gone the way we thought they should have gone. God didn't allow this to happen, or he allowed this to happen, and it has wrecked my view of God. Well, we are misappropriating certain things to God that should not be given to him. We are looking at things in the church that has been misappropriated that really is just evil people being evil. It's not the church's fault. It is people being people. And that's the way people will always be. Don't let that misguide you and misinform you and take you away from truth. And then lastly, we are blinded by false narratives. Fake news. Just kidding. There are so many false narratives out there. I don't care what news station you watch. They are saying what they want to say. Well, folks, let me tell you something. This book has stood the test of time. There are zero false narratives in this thing. It is full of truths that have continued to be championed by great followers of Christ that have changed lives, that have molded your life, no doubt. This is the narrative we should be following. This is the one that should be guiding us. And if we are looking and listening to anything else, we will be misguided. We will miss the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But truthfully, the real answer for me as to why we don't see it, many of us just don't want to. We like where we are. We like how we do things. We hear the truth and it sounds good, but I'm not willing to change. And so therefore, I'm just not going to do it. Man, that's hard. That's not pleasant to hear. In fact, remember, I have to wrestle through this before I can actually share it with you. And there are things I have to wrestle with daily that I don't want to do, that I know that I need to do. It's a battle. It's a common battle for all of us. But let that not be said of Townsend Church. In the way that we lead, in the way that we love, in the way that we go into our community, that we are going in guided, that we go in aligned and informed, and we go in because we choose to sacrifice our life for a cause greater than ourselves. Hearing and seeing doesn't always constitute understanding. Even today in this sermon, you heard me. I know you heard me because I'm watching you hear me. I know you're seeing the things and you're reading the scripture. But I'm not so naive to know that some of you, it kind of went over your head. Some of you said, yeah, that sounded nice, but I'm good. I'm good where I'm at. If anything, this should challenge each and every believer and non-believer to do a gut check. To take a good hard look. Because I'm telling you right now, the days are evil. And they are going to continue to be evil. In fact, they're going to get worse. Not trying to cause fear. Not trying to speak things into existence. Just calling it like I see it. And it's time we as believers get serious. So here's some questions for you. What am I relying on for understanding? What am I, Alan, what do I rely on for understanding? Am I relying on people? Am I relying on the internet? Am I relying on my gut? What am I relying on? Question number two, do my beliefs align with Scripture? With what I know that I know I believe, can I align that with Scripture? And if I cannot, then I should not believe it. Number three, am I too much about what I like and not enough about what is holy? Because there's a lot of things I like that aren't holy. It's a hard question for us. If it's not holy, should it be named a part of us? Good question to ponder all week. Number four, am I hiding behind my life experiences? Am I using my life experiences, the things that have just given me some rough cards to play, a raw deal, things that didn't go my way? Am I hiding behind that and not looking at truth effectively? Am I letting that keep me away from God? And then last question is this, am I hearing from God or am I hearing from other things? That's more questions than I normally give you. But this is getting us prepared for next week. And my prayer is that you will think about these questions. That you will go back and listen to this sermon again. Go back and look at the slides when we put them up. Really contemplate of where am I as it pertains to how I hear and see truth. Because next week, we're going to give you the solution. And it's a pretty good one. As the praise team comes, let me pray for you. God, I appreciate all that you do. You are so good. Thank you for your word. And God, I know that that was long and very wordy, but Lord, it's very challenging. It's so hard for us, God. It is hard for us to put aside our own wants and desires and what we think we need and our own beliefs and the way we want it to be and how we want it to go to truly trust you. Lord, it's hard for us to dig in your word sometimes because we know you're going to convict us. And yet, that should be even more reason to go. Or we get so confused and so boogered up because we don't understand what we're reading or what we're seeing. And maybe today, God, you are revealing to us the reasons why we don't. Maybe it's because I really just don't want to know it. Maybe it is I have a wrong belief system and I'm trying to squeeze Scripture into it to make sense. Maybe I'm just misaligned in the wrong thing. God, you know the reason. And I pray that you would move in hearts this morning. And as we sing this final song, that if someone needs to come and pray at the altar, that they would. Maybe they would kneel at their seat. Maybe they would just quietly whisper a prayer to you saying, God, help me out here. Show me what I'm missing. Reveal to me what I need to see so that I can choose to make the necessary change because I want to see the mysteries and hear the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Thank you for what you are doing even now. In Jesus' name. Ooh. how appropriate was that? For those of us that are a child of God, we are free. You're free indeed, and it's time for us to start living in that freedom and heading in His direction. Thank you so much for tuning in. Glad that you guys were watching today. God bless you. Have a great day. Thank you all.